A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is a pleasure to have you with us on this 4th of July weekend. I hope you've got some fun things planned with the family. There are a lot of activities going on along the Wasatch Front. Maybe you're just getting together with, your close family or friends or whatever it is. We hope you get a chance to do that. Tim Hughes in the studios of KSL News Radio. We're actually recording this program on Thursday, and as we speak, I'll be sitting by the campfire myself. Up on a little piece of private property on a private lake that is regularly stocked with fish, and the campground or the camp spot is waiting with my daughter and grandkids and her side of the family. So we're looking forward to just getting away for a few days, and I hope everybody has that chance. Mike Namodowska, speaking of getting away for a few days, I guess I should get used to this idea of you not knowing what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
Because as you head into retirement, that's going to be a regular part of your day, I think, is not caring what day of the week it is.
It's my favorite part of the day. You know, I love that. When you call me, it's like, oh, it's Thursday. I love that.
Yeah. I caught you in the middle of heading up to Park City. You're doing a little more riding today?
You know, it didn't matter when you call me. That's probably what you would have caught me in the middle of. So, yeah, that's what I do. I'm preparing for our ride. You know, we got that big ride in Europe.
Yep. And we'll be sharing that with our listeners, hopefully recording a little bit along the way anyway, if I can twist the arm of our tour guides over there. We're actually, you've got a little bit more of a trip planned than Becky and I, but we are on a little tighter schedule. So we're going to fly into Paris and then jump on a train and head over to a little town. And I hope I'm saying it right. It's either Kochum or Kochum, probably Kochum, Germany, where we will get on an old Dutch freighter that has been redesigned and reimagined with some private rooms on board, 12 of them, I think. And we bike and barge all the way through Germany and into Luxembourg, I think, and then a little bit of France. So we're looking forward to the experience and sharing it with our listeners.
Yes, we are. I mean, I just can't wait to get to Europe. I haven't been there since COVID, but it's my favorite place to be in the summer for sure.
All right, before I get too far, let me just say how much we enjoyed our time the other night grabbing dinner and going out for a nice night out at USANA with some favorite bands of ours, including Earth, Wind & Fire and Santana. Felt young again for a little while anyway, until we had to get out of bed the next morning.
Oh, man, I revisited my youth like you can't imagine. Every time my favorite song would come on, which are all of them, yeah. I'd look at you, we'd go, oh, we got a band.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We always appreciate the time we get to spend with you guys. All right, I just want to tell people what's coming up on the show today. And because we're squeezed for time because of a road trip we made last weekend, we're actually going to be checking in our next segment with Bob and Mark, who are doing a little road tripping today. They're together on the road. They've been separated for some time. So we'll look forward to that instead of our news of the week. James Engel from Alaska hopefully is waiting for our call. He's another guy that doesn't always remember what day of the week it is, but for good reason. He's on a kayak up in Alaska today, and I think actually is getting ready to link up with his daughter up there. So we'll find out about what the last week has been like for him. Navi's got fish bites for us. And then the road trip we made last weekend was down to Bryce Canyon at Ruby's. And I had the chance to take both of my sons, one of which had never been to Bryce, which is hard to imagine with the number of trips I've taken down there. But for scheduling reasons, he never got to tag along. And we took their grandma with us, and she's from Florida, so she got a chance to see Bryce Canyon for the first time. We recorded three great segments with Lance Syrett and with Tim Gates and Ward Williams from the Bryce Canyon Wranglers. And we look forward to sharing what's going on down there with you. And then we'll wrap up the program this morning with Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge. Since we don't have a News of the Week segment, though, Navi, let's talk fishing for just a minute. And this is not in place of your Fish Bite segment.
Right.
But there is a lot of other information out there, including the fact that we have a handful of new fishing records in the state of Utah in 2022. They kind of go unnoticed, at least until they've been verified. So let me just run through some of these, and I put pictures of some of them on our Facebook page. If you want to follow us, just go to KSL Outdoors Radio. The first one was a 6-pound, 3-ounce striped bass. Now, you're going to say, that can't be a record. Well, it is if you were spearfishing. Darvill McBride from Hesperia, California, caught a record striped bass from Lake Powell back in April, spearfishing, 6 pounds, 3 ounces, which surprised me a little bit with all of the giant fish that are in there, the striped bass. I would have been thinking that maybe that record would be a little bit higher. I don't know if you had the same surprise.
Well, if you consider how many people go spearfishing at Lake Powell.
True.
I mean, when you're talking Utah spearfishing records, pretty much every fish you get is going to be a record.
Yeah. Here's another one. This was a record tiger trout from Fish Lake back in May. David McKay from Farmington. This one, biggie, over 29 inches long. And there's a picture of it, so if you want to take a look at what that looks like, you can do it. And then we had another state record, a record black crappie at Quail Creek State Park on April 18th. That one was 16 inches long, and Dragan, I believe the last name is Picklesheimer from Hurricane, actually caught that one. So some new records.
I want to know how much that tiger weighed. You said it was 29 inches, but how fat? What was its weight?
You know, they didn't list it, which I found a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if you're going to catch a tiger in Utah, you got to get over 15 pounds to break a record. That's my guess.
Well, it's a fatty, not just 29 inches, but it's
okay.
Let me just click on the broader article here and see if they've actually got one listed. It might make me take me too long to actually find it in this long list.
No worries.
Yeah. But you're right. I was kind of wondering the same thing, if it was 29 inches long and what the weight might actually be. Also want to remind people and actually give a shout-out to the Utah Division of Wildlife. They did had a great turnout at the annual Special Needs Fishing Day in Carbon County. We talk often and probably could talk more about getting kids involved with fishing and getting them away from the electronics that burden us all these days. But this is always a great day. The Special Needs Fishing Day took place in Carbon County, and they teamed up with the U.S. Forest Service to host an event at one of the community ponds there in Helper, Utah. 70 participants showed up to catch rainbow trout and enjoy a little barbecue, and those that were there said it was just a perfect day for everybody to get out and enjoy. So we wanted to do a little congratulations to everybody involved there. And I wanted to make you aware, since we don't have a News of the Week segment coming up in a minute, that there is another wildlife viewing opportunity that's happening on Saturday, July 16th, from 9 a.m. until noon, where you can catch a glimpse of some of the osprey in the air and on top of their huge nests with that free viewing event. Let me find out where here. It's going to be happening at Flaming Gorge, but I thought they had a little more specific information. They estimate, by the way, that osprey log more than 160,000 migratory miles in their 10 to 15-year life. And, man, they are fun to watch. I'm sure you've had a chance, Navi, when you're out on one of your fishing trips.
Let me tell you, osprey are absolutely wonderful to watch. You just sit there and you can watch them for hours because they're very active. I mean, they got to get all that protein to their young, and it comes in the form of fish. So the way they hover, the way they get into the water, and when they can carry these big fish with those wings back to the nest, and then, of course, the audible sounds they make. Oh, my heavens, that screech, I guess, that osprey make is just one of a kind.
Here it is. It's going to be happening at the Flaming Gorge Dam Visitor Center at 5995 Flaming Gorge Dam in Dutch John. The visitor center located there on the south end of Flaming Gorge Reservoir in northeastern Utah. The event runs from 9 until noon, and again, the date for your calendar is Saturday, July 16th. What are we going to talk about on Fish Bites coming up in the next half hour?
Well, with the holiday, we talked last week that I would kind of revisit how to fish the high country, because I think people are now getting, you know, their camp trailers and tents up into the mountains. So you got to go fishing, because it's what to do when you're there. And if you don't know how, I'm just going to give you the basics where you can't get skunked.
All right, we'll look forward to it. But up next, we go road tripping with the boys a little earlier today. Bob and Mark will join us next. We'll find out where they are on the road together this week. And then, fingers crossed, in the next half hour, we will be able to make contact on the SkyCall sat phone. Unfortunately, Russ isn't with us this morning, Russ Smith from SkyCall, but James Engel, hopefully expecting our call there in Alaska, so stay with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, it's time to do a little road tripping for another week here, and it sounds like the boys are down around Fillmore today. I'm anxious to do some exploring.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Checking in a little early this morning with Mark Wade, Bob Grove, road tripping with Bob and Mark.com. Guys, I'm familiar. I was telling you just before we jumped in here, I'm familiar with the Territorial State House because some years ago, when I was working for another radio station, we did a promotion called the 47 Hours of the Days of 47. And if you're going to talk about the history of this state, you have to talk about the state house that most people probably don't even know exists, right?
That's right. And, you know, Brigham Young decided that this was going to be the center of the territory, if you will, and the state house would be built here. They got one wing of the state house built here before they decided to go ahead and make it to Salt Lake City, the headquarters. And so, but it's here, and it's a beautiful facility run by the state parks.
This is one of the places we talk about Cedar City sometimes being left out because everybody's on their way to St. George or down to Las Vegas or something. Fillmore probably has that problem even a little bit more as people just blow right past it. But you're going to do some exploring over the next few minutes with things there are to do and enjoy around Fillmore. So I'm just going to turn it over to you because you have somebody on hand there with you.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. You know, Fillmore's probably been in the same boat as Beaver has been over the years along I-15, but as we've discovered, Mark and I have talked about Beaver County quite a bit of all the things to do in the area. We're also discovering that Miller County, and particularly Fillmore here, has much more than what you see from the freeway. So we have Kevin Morris with us today. He's the tourism director for Miller County, and he's been our guide today, showing us some of the areas that are in and around the Fillmore area.
Kevin, where have we been this morning?
We went to Moss Falls, it's a great hike up there this morning, beautiful falls, just a spectacular sight to see. And then we also hit the hieroglyphs and what's called Map Rock as we came down out of the canyon.
So this is up Chalk Creek Canyon, yes. Just to the east of Fillmore.
It is. Just the main road going up to the Paiute Trail, so it's Chalk Creek Canyon. Just an easy place to get to for anybody coming to visit Miller County.
We thought, you know, Tim, you could drive a regular vehicle right almost to the trailhead. It's a well-graded road all the way up there, dirt road, to get up to the hieroglyphs that we saw this morning and the map rock that Kevin mentioned. You'd probably want to walk up to that or take a UTV.
Yeah, you'll want something high ground clearance because there's fairly big rocks that's exposed. So, it would be much better in a UTV or a hike.
Tell us about other things around Fillmore that you could do. One of them is over in Meadow. There's some hot springs over there. Talk about that.
There is. There's some hot springs. There's three springs there, each varying in temperature a little bit, but they're spectacular. One has fish in it, which is great for ladies that want to stick their feet in there. They get a pedicure for free. So that's quite a deal to do that. Not very far from there is the lava tubes.
How were those created?
So back when Lake Bonneville was here, we had 5 active volcanoes that erupted during that time. One of those is Tabernacle Hill. And that forced the lava up through, and it forced it around the water. And as it was going around the water, it would cool. And then it bridged over, and that's what left the tubes in the water, and the sediment filtered out, left those tubes open.
So, Tim, we're going to be spending a couple of days here in the Millard County area. This is our day one in Fillmore, learning about all the things to do and see here in and around Fillmore. And for the next couple of days, we're going to go out back into the west section of Millard County. We're going to go up to Notch Peak. We're going to actually climb up to the top. We were taking pictures from below before. Now we're going to see it from the top. And we're going to get some night sky photos. We'll see what happens with the clouds. We're loving this monsoon weather, but we're hoping that it'll clear out for a clear sky so we can get some nice star shots. And then we're going to a Mossy Valley and some other areas. We're going to see a lot in Millard County, so we'll report about that on another show.
We still
Notch Peak is second highest vertical drop in all of North America, so it's quite a place to visit.
Yeah, I'm glad we're doing this today because I had no idea that any of that stuff existed. I mentioned that I probably am among the few that actually went down and spent some time exploring the Territorial Statehouse. Our broadcast actually happened at 5 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody around. We were walking down the middle of Main Street in Fillmore, and they laid a phone line out for us, and we were sitting out under the trees in the grassy area of the State House. And that was our experience, was 5 to 9 o'clock in the morning just sitting out there. But it is a beautiful little spot, and I'm glad that you're exploring some of this. I'm guessing you're going to have all of this documented on the blog site, right?
Yeah, we will. We won't be able to get it on in time for the show this week because we're out and about, but we'll have information on for the following week. And we'll have photos of all these places that we are visiting today and for the next couple of days.
Mark, you mentioned the stories behind one of these spots. Was it the Moss Falls that you were sharing some of the old history about with me before we jumped on?
Well, just below Moss Falls are these hieroglyphs. And somebody came into Fillmore. Somebody in Fillmore actually found these hieroglyphs in the 30s or thereabouts. And then some other people in South Central America heard about it. And they came up this way and started thinking that they might find some more artifacts up this way. And they got the town involved, didn't they, Kevin?
Yes. And they started the mine underneath thinking there was a room or something down there with these artifacts in it. And in doing so, a couple of gentlemen lost their lives being asphyxiated there. So at that time, they basically tried to tunnel in and then they just give up.
The mystery is these hieroglyphs here are just, they're different than petroglyphs or anything you would see mostly from Native American ancient history. And so it's very interesting to see. And that's part of the history of this area.
Wow, that is so fun to learn about. All right, we'll look forward to, and you guys can keep us on top of when you actually get all of this up on the website. That's great. But thank your guests there for us on this end. We've got to take a break. For news on the half hour. On the other side, we've confirmed a connection with Jim Engel up in Alaska. He actually is on a cell phone this morning, so we'll do that coming up next. But again, it's Road Tripping with Bob and Mark.com. Stay with us. We'll get a news update next on the half hour here on KSL.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.